Welcome to Flowery Branch on a Victory Monday for the Falcons, who beat the Panthers yesterday at the Georgia Dome to go to 3-1. And Coach Dan Quinn is here with us in our first couple of segments. Congratulations to you and your team. Just another fabulous performance yesterday at the Dome.
We knew it was going to be a tough game and one that would take all day. They're a tough opponent. So we came in with that expectation, knowing it was going to be hard. One of the cool parts, our crowd was into it the whole game. You could feel it. You could feel the energy they had. And so for us to pay it forward with a win at home was extra special for our team.
Dan, aggressiveness starts right out of the box. You get a defensive stop against the reigning MVP. And in fact, a little bit of shoving. He's trying to bully up a little bit. Your long linebacker's right in front of him. And so you have to punt the football. They punt the football. And here comes Matt Ryan, aggressive. I guess that was the mindset to start with.
Yeah, we wanted to stay aggressive on both sides. And for us to have the ability to call it aggressive, play it aggressive, I want the players to always feel like they're thinking in that way. It was a good stop. You know, we knew this game would be about poise. All division games are where guys know each other. It's going to be a battle for it. We were fortunate to get that stop and then to have a couple opportunities to get the ball going down the field, I thought was a real factor. And the third quarter, I thought, was a real factor offensively. Mm-hmm. We came out and had a 99-yard drive that, and had a three-down stop by the defense, then to go back out again. That was a big shift in the game.
First time in a long time in the NFL that teams have had three touchdown drives of over 90 yards in the same ball game. How do you prepare for something like that? Do you break it up? Do you say, hey, here's where the ball is, let's get a first down, right?
We're getting on Keith Armstrong to say, why was the drive start inside the 20? No, honestly, it's the different ways that we want to attack. And we've got a unique group of guys that at tight end, at running back, at wide out, that we're trying to spread the field and have everybody defend the whole thing. So in the run game, the way these guys can catch it, the running backs out of the backfield, there's a lot that goes into what we do, and we're best when we have balance. And that's the play-action game that goes with it.
Right. Meanwhile, your defense is holding the rope pretty good. I mean, they allow a first-half field goal, but outside of that, in the other four possessions, Carolina's punting the football.
We thought we had some real progress that we made defensively, certainly through the first three quarters. We didn't love the way we finished. We can tell you that, to say let's make sure we can shut the door when we have the opportunity to do that. So we're not there yet, but we are still working. I thought we got better. And honestly, that's really the goal that we're trying to do each week, to say, all right, it's now time to reset. What are the things we want to do better? And then so that's going to be the same for this week, this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How do we go get better?
Dan, I keep thinking, it resonates in my mind when I'm watching the game and doing the game, the things you're teaching these guys from a culture standpoint about being fast and physical and enduring, be better longer, all those kind of things. And it kind of harkened back to what Wes was talking about. Five of your first eight drives started inside your own 10-yard line. And four of those started down near the two.
Yep.
Yet the perseverance and kind of the no loss of focus. Right. Now, you had the one drive, didn't finish the way you wanted to. You had the pick.
Yep.
The pick
coming out, yep.
But other than that, it just seemed to kind of resonate with what you've been trying to talk about from a big picture standpoint all along.
And I think when we get to these guys, the mental toughness, the resiliency, it's this play, and then we'll go reset, and we'll go do it again, and we'll go do it again. So there were some excellent third down conversions. Some of them were long. Some penalties had moved us back into some third and longs, and for us to have, who had one and Gabriel had one, those are tough on a defense. You know, when you put them into a third and more than 10 and they convert, there's a natural angst that happens on a defense that comes from experience. So I can tell you.
So
when you have those times and you're able to convert, here's another set of drives, and we're going to go keep attacking. So I thought just a good team win, defensively getting a score at the end, having some stops early on, all hands on deck on special teams to make sure we're going to keep continuing to battle for it. And I thought just a great demonstration of the chemistry between Matt and Julio especially.
Well, it's nice you're talking about third and long conversions, because one of them was a 53-yard throw to Julio Jones that kind of seemed to set him off the rest of the day. I mean, the first time the long ball was completed, it seemed like they went to another level in terms of their connection.
Yeah, and you know what type of competitor he is. And the stats told the story of his game, but there's things that show up on that don't show up on the stat sheet that makes him the competitor he is. There, I can specifically think of an outside zone play to Devontae, and he was the backside X, and he is busting his butt as fast as he can to try and go get to the safety to get Devontae free. And those are the things that don't show up, but I think that tells the story about who he is to his teammates. The catches that we all saw, it was amazing, the plays.
Right.
But there's a lot of ones that don't show up that he is totally busting it for his guys, and that's what's really cool about this team.
Dan, this is more of a them problem than it is. It obviously was for you, but it obviously was a benefit to you. I found it incredible that they continued to play Julio that way, and it even resonated with some of the interviews I did post-game. Those guys were a little surprised as well, both Matt and Julio. Now, they had issues on their side of the ball with whatever personnel they had to play,
sure.
And I know that, again, that's a them problem. Did you guys find it a surprise, the coaching staff, the way it continued to unfold for your passing game?
Each week is different in how you want to go and how you want to play. So as the game unfolds, that's the challenge for the play callers to know, okay, this was the plan going in, and that plan has now changed, and here's how we have to go attack. So I thought it was a really clear example of, like, he found that spot to go to. And there was oftentimes he was covered, and where he just made it some terrific plays. So those games happen too, and that's why I didn't want to read too much into it last week when he didn't have the big game. Because I know who he is and how he plays. So I wasn't surprised that he had a really good performance.
It's interesting that your team was challenged in a lot of different ways this week. The short week was talked about, all the things of the win at New Orleans, kind of exercising whatever demons might have been down there, so to speak. Come back here and you're playing a team that lost one game in the regular season and had just been kind of beaten at home and not a great performance. So you knew you were going to get a great effort out of them.
We did. We knew we'd get their best effort and a real fight, and that's exactly what we got.
Mm-hmm.
It's the resiliency. We talk about that, the
right.
Mental toughness, and I think clearly demonstrates how hard the guys want to play for one another. And that's what makes being part of this group so cool, because they show that. They live that. And it's not, you know, when a guy goes down, another guy's ready to step up and count it on in that way. And that's what good teams do.
I mean, quick on the follow of this, how much of that was built Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and whatever you do on Saturday as a unit to get the production you got yesterday?
I think it was probably way past this week. And
okay.
The production, it's the off-season work that they did before OTAs even began. It's the in-season work, the training camp work. Sometimes I'll call it the come-in-early-or-stay-late work that they do without the coaches there. And if there's a route to adjust or something to go through, we're going to stay after and get this part down today. Or the offensive line, we're going to meet early on Wednesday mornings, and we're going to go through these protections again so we can nail it. So it's some of those meetings that even take place without the coaches that builds that bond even stronger.
Is it one of those things where you see a win, or we see a win, fans, media, they see the wins on Sunday or Monday night, but yet you see the process being validated?
Right.
Okay.
We do love going through the process.
Right.
And, we have a saying that the process takes care of the learning. So we try to make what we're doing the primary purpose, what we're going to do on Wednesday, what we'll do on Thursday and Friday. So we actually love the buildup that happens, because we know by the time we get through to Saturday night, we're ready. So the things we'll tell the team is you trust your training, you trust your teammate, and you trust yourself. And trusting your training's been you put the work in. Trusting your teammates, knowing that you're going to do the job that you're capable of, and then trusting yourself to say, all right, I put the work in, now it's time to go do it.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan, so often I think that the layman fan out there hears, okay, the run game helps facilitate the pass game. It kind of worked a little bit opposite yesterday,
right,
where the passing game kind of gave you some opportunities to run the football, and I thought Alex Mack really showed his colors when he got on one of the unblockable linebackers in this league and Luke Kuechly a couple
yep.
of times, especially on Devontae's touchdown.
Kuechly is such a factor, isn't he? He
yeah.
has the speed is there, but I think the other thing that goes, there's a lot of guys who are fast, but it's the instincts with a fast player. And Alex has really good instincts too. And so you can feel when a linebacker is trying to fall back to go get to a play. So we knew that was going to be an all-day fight, and that matchup inside as well, between how does the inside three get to Davis and to Kuechly, because they are on it too. You can tell those two put the work in.
It's a fascinating matchup from just that side. When you see the run game come alive like it does, especially when you need it, the Freeman touchdown run after Matt hits Tammy on that opening score, Devontae makes two of the best runs of his career. The touchdown run second only to the one that he made leading up to it, right?
Yeah, he's a slasher, and that's running right at a guy and then trying to break him off. And that's where, you know, it can get so difficult, because you break down on him, or do you not and try to go take your hit where he can just get cut and get laterally so quickly. So He is one of our very best competitors, and he would literally want the ball every play if we allowed him.
Well, Colin Jones, the safety, still trying to gather up the change he dropped all over the field when he got juked on that little put the foot in the ground, step to the outside. Did you guys have fun with that in the film room?
The quickness that he goes laterally, that's when he frees at his best. He really is. So they're a nice combination, Tevin and Devontae are, because they're size-wise, they're similar in weight, but they're different in terms of their uniqueness, where Tevin likes to get outside and then get vertical, where Devontae can try and set somebody up and then get lateral.
Let me ask you about change of pace, and you mentioned this at the front of our segment here about you're not happy with the way the fourth quarter went. Newton goes out of the game. Anderson makes a change. Is it just the mental, hey, got to stay on it type thing here that concerns you, or how does that work?
It was more just we played so well in the third quarter that it was time when the finish is at hand to go close the door.
Okay.
And that was an example at the end of that first half, we did that. And so it was a 2 minute at the half where we did it. So for us not to come through at the end in that second half, the yards after the catch is what bothered us and made us uncomfortable, where sometimes when you're playing a zone, the throw happens and the tackle happens and here it is. So we'll look at it. We're going to improve from it. And I thought we made improvement as far as our rush goes and to try and get the quarterback off the spot. But it's all of us that interconnection that the whole defense has, the rush, the secondary, the good coverage to allow it to go there, the tackling. So we're all an extension of one another.
Yeah, I want to. We're going to expound on that when we come back with Coach Quinn about the pressure. I think it gets misperceived, but when you move the quarterback off or he's throwing the ball quicker than he's supposed to, that changes the dynamic offensively. Also, the ability to stop the run. We'll talk to Dan about that when we come back.
And, by the way, the travel, because that now becomes an element this team will have to deal with, coming up with ball games in Denver and Seattle. So we'll come back, visit more with head coach Dan Quinn. Victory Monday at Flowery Branch continues on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dan Quinn, Coaches Show on Monday. Robert Alford's with us in our player spotlight coming up. Two picks yesterday, including the one that pulled the curtain down on Atlanta's victory 48-33 yesterday over the Carolina Panthers. All right, let's get to the quarterback pressure. I know you were talking about that before we went to break.
Yeah, I think this is sometimes it's difficult for some in the media and maybe even some for the fans to understand the effort to get to the quarterback is not a guaranteed thing, but trying to get him off his spot to change timing and disrupt that. I thought we saw that repeatedly yesterday. In fact, I thought it frustrated the reigning MVP because he couldn't stand in there and throw it. Talk about that.
For all quarterbacks, there's a certain spot in the route that you'd like to throw. This is your progression. So when the rush happens and you have to move off that spot, now the route changes and it goes into a different element of the pass. So it is one of the topics that we talk about. Can we move the guy? Can we hit him? We love the sacks because they can also lose yards or have a chance to get the ball out. But the first and foremost thing is how do we move them so the timing routes aren't exactly like they want them to be. So it's a good topic and one that we probably haven't discussed why it's so important when there's four or five guys out in a pattern and they're going in a certain way. And now that pattern has to change because the quarterback had to move. It's a factor.
A lot of different ways to get there though, right? A lot of different ways you can get to the pressure point with a quarterback. And I got to believe every week you spend time finding out where it is because it can't be the same with everybody.
It's not. And the launch point of where it's at, and do you have to push it inside to make him escape, or is he very much wanting to break and get outside the pocket? So all those come into effect as we're looking at each QB we play.
I thought it was very evident that the interior three offensive linemen who are kind of given the task of trying to prevent for interior pressure, which is going to affect any quarterback, let alone a guy that can move around, but a guy that's going to stand in there like Matt does.
Yep.
I thought the interior three offensive linemen for you really did a nice job of providing him an area to climb, maybe escape, do whatever he needed
against
to do.
A very good front. You know, we've got lots of regard and respect for Sean McDermott and how they do, and the interior guys with Short and Lotulelei, they are a handful. And I don't know what they're listed weight-wise, but it's way more than what it's listed. Because they can push the pocket, that's for sure.
Well, and they give you that double A gap look where one of them's coming, one of them's dropping, or they're both dropping out, so it's a tough look.
It's been a very effective scheme and one that they use. And we knew that whether they're blitzing the linebackers, the inside rushers, how they use them, it's a good scheme. It really is. A
couple of things we want to tackle in our remaining 10 minutes here or so. One is this travel part. We've talked about this. You've been to Oakland already. Now this combination of Denver and Seattle. I know you told the media and something the organization looked at back in the spring, I guess, was the opportunity to stay out
west
for 2 weeks, right?
So with us playing the AFC West and the NFC West this year, it provided possible opportunities for us to maybe make one of the trips as opposed to going to, you know, West Coast and back. So if they were ever back-to-back, we would talk about staying and playing, whether it was in L.A. or Oakland or mm-hmm. Seattle. And this one happened to have Denver into the mix for it. So it's a good topic for us, one that we're glad that we have the opportunity in the early part of the season, you know, for the group to have and do that. But honestly, just about for the players' performance, can we be at our very best, you know, moving forward.
So functionally, when you play Denver next week, get on a plane, go west. You'll go to
correct.
Seattle that night, I'm guessing.
That's correct.
How does that work then? The same, just a regular week for you guys? You're just doing it in different locations?
We are. We're going to get right back in our routine. We'll have our Tell the Truth Monday. The players have off Tuesday. And then we'll get right into our normal preparation routine that we love going through the process to get ready. So we're going to work hard to get into our normal routine. And mm-hmm. if whatever they do in their normal week, we're just moving that whole routine out west for that week.
Dan, Denver, and I know you haven't had a chance to study Denver as much as you'd like. I know you've probably already poured over some of it. But when you look at Denver from yesterday, starting quarterback Simeon, who's a young player in his own right, went down, did not come back, and they kept Paxton Lynch in the game, who actually played extremely well. It doesn't look like they change offensively very much.
Right.
From what you can tell, obviously a big-time receiver on both sides of the ball. It's a good, or both sides of the line of scrimmage, pretty good group.
They have a very good team identity. They play really good defensive ball. They've got a real scheme offensively that's there. Their kicking game's on point and solid. So we know we'll have a work cut out for them. It did look like scheme-wise it's similar with both the quarterbacks that they play. As we get through the process and get ready to go through the week, that'll play out in terms of who's playing and who's not. We'll be ready.
When you got a guy, obviously there's two players out there that most every fan knows. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware are two guys. Now, one of them's a little bit more of a rush guy. I guess the other guy can step off, but they both can come after the passer. From a protection standpoint, give the fan kind of some insight of how you declare those guys in protection
sure.
to try to take care of them.
As when those type of rushers on the outside, you generally don't want to put, you know, the running backs on outside rushers who are that way. So that's what oftentimes happens when you're in a base defense. Now, our league has become so much more of a nickel front where they're defensive ends anyway. So if you treat them more like defensive ends, then they'll match up on the big guys more. When you treat them like linebackers, that's where it can get harder, where a running back's matched up on them.
I assume there's a way you can kind of maybe force them into a look that puts them more up on the line of scrimmage as edge rushers as opposed to being off the fist
right.
side of linebackers.
And that's what they do best, and that's what they'll do the most. No big surprise there. You know, they know how to feature their really good players. So a lot of respect for Wade and how they do it. We've certainly watched a lot of tape on them, not just last year but through the years. So,
sure.
We've got a real sense of how they play. We'll definitely have our work cut out for them.
The dynamic is interesting because here's a team that won the Super Bowl, lost the quarterback. The guy who everybody thought was going to be the quarterback went someplace else in free agency.
Yep.
So kind of the unknown at that position developed. Yet everybody else, well, for the most part, although they did lose Malik Jackson and some guys in
yep.
free agency on the defense, everything else basically held serve, right?
It's when those ones happen, generally you think, okay, inside the building they know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they had a good quarterback in place. They added another one through the draft. They had a very good defense that kept, you know, quite a few of the players intact. I know they lost a linebacker, but they had a terrific secondary.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't talk about their secondary quite as often as you would think. They really got their act together and how to play. Their rushers are there. So a very complete team. We know that. And, you know, we're pumped to get out there and get playing.
Dan, what can you tell us about Tevin Coleman's situation with the sickle cell trait? I mean, we've seen a number of players that have not been able to go to Denver to participate. Is that something that's going to affect you, or do you know yet? Are you still going to have to sort that
out? No, nothing for us to sort out in that way. I think most people are referring to Ryan Clark, who back in 2007,
right. yeah.
Who has sickle cell anemia, which is different than having the sickle cell trait. So over the last 9 years, there's been quite a few players with the sickle cell trait that have played in Denver and certainly before then. So
excellent.
I think Ryan's case was one that was singular to him and for us not – you know, the same situation.
Oh, cool. Okay, great.
You do get Jalen Collins back this week. How does that process work for you for a guy that's been gone essentially since the end of the Jacksonville game, back on the, 3rd of September, 1st of September, right?
And it was hard for us knowing he was going to be gone for a month, and it was hard on him, too, being away from
Absolutely.
His teammates. So now, you know, he looks fit, he looks great, and as we get through the week and through where we'll have a look and see where he's at.
You're a little banged up at linebacker, to say the least. pleased, first of all, pleased with the way Loy Reynolds came in off
no
the
doubt.
Bench. Really did a nice job for you.
We're fortunately, we have very good depth at that position. Yeah. And guys, we can totally count on to play really well. And that'll be the case again. But in the system that we play, and Jeff has trained all the guys. So it's not like, well, he's a backup and we don't count on him. The standard is for everyone. And so if you're linebacker, safety, tight end, running back, the standard is the standard. And we expect you to play like you're capable of. We'll never ask a guy, man, you really need to pick your game up. It's just the opposite. We need to play like you're capable of.
The versatility of a guy like Philip Wheeler to be able to kind of play across the board for you seems to come into play.
He's a factor for sure. He's a guy who can play outside linebacker, inside linebacker. So have that veteran experience of a guy who has the versatility. And that's why it's important to play multiple spots throughout the preseason. Sometimes you guys may be sick and tired of seeing different guys at different spots and trying to figure them out who's who, but it's a very important process that we go through.
It's interesting because in the system you brought here, there's a lot more multiplicity about it. Even from guys who might stand up one play, put their hand on the ground the next play, guy might be on an end one play, slide inside the next, depending on formation. Getting all that stuff organized, how big a challenge is that during a week when you're going to play somebody who can, you know, do it both ways like Denver can?
Sure.
I guess.
We try to teach concepts first.
Okay.
And so might be player X and player X, but these two positions, they're similar. They're related. So if you can play this one, you can play this one too. So we try to make that simple function like the way we play 400, 3 deep or man-to-man. The first part is any of us could be in these three or four positions. And now what is the factor for this player, a hook player, a buzz player? And so once we teach the concepts first, then it's easier to slide players into spots.
Pride factor first probably for Keanu Neal in the way you're proud you were of him taking on that task and trying to grab one of the best tight end in the National Football League.
He has given us headaches for years. And,
well, he makes a circus catch, or Keanu does a great job on it.
He's a terrific competitor, and we were seeing could Keanu stand up? And he certainly did. We had him in man-to-man more than a handful of times. You know, it was over 20. So for him to have the type of game that he had against what we consider a terrific tight end, we're very proud of his performance.
It's got to be interesting with Neil and with Brian Poole to a degree. I mean, you saw these guys as college guys.
Right.
And now they've made this jump. And Arch mentions the pride factor of what you did from that from the draft perspective. I'd go back all the way to when they showed up in Gainesville and you were coaching them, right? I mean – you got to be pretty proud of the way they've made this jump, these guys.
We had a real sense of the competitors that they were.
Yeah.
And we're always trying to look for guys who have competitiveness and toughness. We call it the CT score. And both of those guys have that. It's the physicality, the resiliency, the finish, the effort. And those are the ones in the league that have those high CT scores that really play well.
Well, all right, last thing for you before we break. I want to ask you about a guy that doesn't get asked about because he does his job to the highest level is Desmond Trufant.
Yep.
True seems to match up some on the best guy. Sometimes he doesn't. But we never mention his name because he seems like he's always doing the right thing. Nobody wants to throw at him.
I think that's really the case when you are really, you know, talented corner. I'm going to go in a different way. So, man, are we pleased with his effort. We've really seen his game really ramp up this year. The details that he's on it, the communication that he's making, he's really kind of coming to his own as a leader as well.
Well, he's walking around with his chest stuck out because the Purple Haze crushed the Cardinal the other night.
There was definitely some talk back and forth of that in the meeting room. We showed some examples of
that.
Did you? Oh, for sure.
Is that right?
Because we have a couple of Stanford
yes,
Cardinals
I know.
There, so.
Yes. By the way, talk about a guy who may need a ticket or two in a couple of weeks, right? Trufant?
Yeah.
Maybe be a good, section.
A good topic for him in a week. I'm sure his brother and his family will help out as well. So as a longtime play-by-play man, I thought of Vince Scully and you today. And what a long, distinguished career, huh?
Yeah, unbelievable. 67 years of doing anything is unbelievable.
Yeah, you got that right.
Great call, Dan.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Stay tuned. Robert Alford in the Player Spotlight next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.